Welcome to the Child Free Wealth Podcast, hosted by Bree and Dr. J, certified financial planner. Here we discuss life and finances as it relates to being child free. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Please consult your advisor before implementing any ideas heard on this podcast.
So I was just looking at my notes, and it's been like a month and a half since we talked last. Like, you know, just for schedule and life getting in the way. Yes, how's it been for you? Like, any like magic happened in the past month and a half?
If by magic you mean unexpected expenses, then no.
I did warn you, the first month of the budget is always going to be like, okay, was that a hot water heater, the transmission? What was it?
Oh my gosh. So, well, I'll start with the biggest expense was our vehicles. And it really was something we should have known. But the first time we spoke to you, this was coming up, which was it's winter time in Ohio. We have to replace the tires on both vehicles, all four for both. New tires for both vehicles was an imperative once the snow started flying. We realized after the fact. That was the major one. And then another vehicle expense came up with my car battery dying. Not as major, but still. And then we had another repair on our furnace. So, but all three things happened since the last time we spoke. And ultimately, you know, nothing that we, you know, we should have been surprised by. And yet, you know, it was like, okay, we're okay. We're dealing with that. Matt was very helpful. And because I do think from our takeaway from our first session, you know, we had done the budget. We had outlined a goal to continue paying down our car. Payment or our car loan, the one remaining car loan that we do have. And, you know, we did make some inroads with that, with the tax return we got, some bonus money we got, but ultimately we were hoping to carve out, you know, money in our everyday income to put towards that. And it ultimately got swallowed up by those expenses, but neither here nor there. Like, yeah, you definitely helped us shop around and find some really good deals to make sure we weren't overspending on something that was a necessity, but.
Well, and that's why we built those sinking funds for the house and the car.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In theory, if we're putting that aside each month, well, we need tires, whatever. We got it in that account. It doesn't kill the month.
True. That is exactly what we talked about. And yeah, that's all the reason to do it, right? That's why we do it, why we should do it. So.
Well, and most people actually don't. And then they're like, oh no, I had to get tires. I'm like, you know, at some point you're going to have to get tires. Right. Let's
just exactly. Yeah. It should not shock anyone that these things come up. So to have not put some money aside for it, you end up like, yeah, what did you expect? Right.
Did you try the weekly budget meetings?
Formally, we've been, I would say, informal. Like I was just saying before we got on, like we haven't sat down and reviewed, like, where is our money going? And I know that was part of the homework is like, we got to start meeting regularly. And I think we would have, you know, off the cuff discussions like, oh man, you know, this cut back on some restaurants or some of the more social things we were doing, just as we try to kind of tighten the belt while we were going through that. But no, we haven't is the answer. We have to sit down and do. So it's, yeah, the sitting down and making that a priority is still something we got to get into our habit, you know.
And I'm not giving you a hard time about it. Like, you're not going to the principal's office to get in trouble. Like, you're making it out like, no, you know.
Because we're still embarrassed.
We are. I always do the homework, and I haven't done the homework.
So the truth is, the actual budget meetings all that are the harder homework. My wife and I, actually, she was listening to one of the podcasts. She's like, you talked about me in the podcast and said, I don't sit down and talk about the finances. I'm like, no, you don't. She's like, let's do it. I was like, all right.
That's funny.
I'm not saying we're perfect. You know, it's just a balancing act.
For sure.
Now let's talk about your drive-by budget meetings. That's what we call those. We're in the hall like, hey, is that you, Rebecca, telling Matt, hey, we need to spend less money? Or was it like a discussion?
Yeah, no, I definitely think it was more of a discussion. Like, yeah, there's, I think coming up on those like larger expenses where I, you know, it was most apparent for my vehicle that I needed it very soon to needing tires. I drive a longer distance. I drive more frequently. Well, not more frequently. That's incorrect. Either way, I drive longer distances, and it was just very apparent that my car needed it immediately. So we started out doing that. And that was the first kind of like, okay, this is going to be a little bit of a hit. Let's talk about, you know, our immediate goals were to not just try to understand where our money is going. And with the knowledge that we had at the end of our last meeting, which was there's money that you are spending that you don't know where it's going. This shouldn't even be too painful. Like, you don't even have to, like, maybe necessarily dramatically change your behaviors. You just need to understand where your money's going. It became a little bit of like, well, it's going to this situation. It's going to the cars is where it's got to go right now. But ultimately, I think the discussion turned into more of, okay, well, this needs to happen. And so if we want to make sure that we're, you know, not dipping into savings for this, that we are even right-sizing the amount that we're putting on our loans, which there was a couple other kind of curveballs that happened this in the interim with my income, which was nothing crazy, but just like our bonuses were only 50% of what they normally are. No raises this year. The company actually cut our retirement contribution from 4% to 2%. So a few things that were like, ooh, yeah, what's that going to look like for our, you know, for our day to day? It was, you know, let's at least sit down and, well, we didn't sit down, but we just talked about, you know, not having unnecessary spending, maybe just, you know, checking in before making any impulse purchases and stuff like that. And it was, we both looked at each other and like, yeah, this is the time to make some, you know, intentional choices with how we spend money in the next couple months at minimum. So.
Yeah. And I think what I'm watching out for is when like weird things happen to your budget, whatever, you know, you had like three at once. Or four.
Sure.
What tends to happen then is people are like, oh, we already blew the budget, so screw it. That month is lost and like the whole month goes downhill. So I'm trying to see, like, did we lose the month or?
You know, yeah, I could see the propensity to that it could have gone that way. I had a little bit of that thought in my head where it's like, well, what's the point? Like we're not going to hit our goals. We're not going to be able to do the thing we wanted to do. So maybe we just stop like, you know, obsessing over it for the moment. But it was more of a, I think we ended up somewhere in the middle where we didn't outright drop the intentional, you know, let's still figure out where we were, where we can, you know, monitor and make conscious choices, but also having that, I guess, sit down where we actually planned and had a little bit more, I guess, structure around the choices did not happen. So we ended up in the middle of that. But.
And that's okay. I'm just trying to make you aware of it. You know, and that's the reason why I like the weekly budget meetings versus monthly. Because like, if we mess up a week, we can fix the next week. If we wait to the end of the month, we're like, well, it's already gone. So let's go out to dinner. You know what? We've already.
That's just, yeah.
Exactly.
No limits. I hear you.
All right. Let's. Did you look at your March budget? Now, keep in mind, did you look to see, hey, am I getting like three paychecks or anything going to be different for your budget for
March?
Yeah,
that is the case, actually. This month will be, oh gosh, so three for me. I'm going to count for you, Matthew. It's how many Fridays in March? Five. So five paychecks for him, three for me this month. So that's more than normal for sure.
Okay. So what's your plan for the extra two paychecks in between the two of you?
Again, informally, I can't say we've really talked through this. I mean,
well, that's why we're here, you know, like,
sure. It's fair. It's true. I mean, I think putting aside, you know, I was disappointed in the amount of money I was able to put down on the car loan. Like it was only a bit less than I had expected or hoped. I'd like to put perhaps mine or maybe yours towards, you know, the extra paycheck towards that if we can spare it. And then we do have one travel plan, and end of May is where we're kind of hoping to do some just little road trip to West Virginia and looking to hire a pet sitter. There's a few ancillary expenses that come with that, with having dogs. And even when you try to do budget lodging, it's like you end up spending more than you think you're gonna. So putting a little bit aside for that would probably be another avenue I think we would want to take. But yeah, right now there's still about $5,100 on the car, and I just want to keep after that. So
if we put Rebecca's paycheck towards the car and Matt's toward the vacation, is that a good
combo? Be perfect. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
One little tip on that. When your third paycheck comes in, immediately send that money in. Like, you know, that way, like,
out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to protect ourselves from ourselves.
Right.
Like the stupid things like, oh, the bank account has more money in it. We can afford it.
Yes, it is a psychological trick. Your mind looks at that number and goes, oh, I can breathe. I can spend spend there. And, you know, it's just the small amounts add up very quickly when you just let that kind of mindset take over.
Yeah.
Typically what I do with my paycheck is I send it like all to you and then just keep the 300 in my bank account.
Right. So we have a joint checking, which you send into like the joint checking and then you have your savings or your spending money kind of in your own personal account.
But it's only every $300. And I look at that, I'm like, I can't have anything less than 300 ever because that's too little. I just end up not buying anything.
Is it your cut and run money if you got to get away from it?
Yeah, the 300.
Good luck.
You might be able to buy a Greyhound ticket for that, but that's about it. You know, you're not even going to buy a flight.
That's what I'm saying.
So where I'm going is maybe what we do is take that extra paycheck and put it into a savings account that's not part of your regular stuff. We know we have a trip coming in May. You know, my wife and I, we're going away next week and got a plan for the pet sitter and all that other son stuff and finding somebody you can trust. That's a whole separate discussion, but like, you know.
It really is, yeah.
So if we put Rebecca's paycheck towards the car, we had done the math last time with the regular paychecks. That you can put about $800 towards the car. So that plus your extra paycheck, I mean, it's going to chunk away a big chunk of that car.
That's the hope, yeah. I just put this, just today, put $800 on it for, as the standard March contribution, we'll say. I'm in March now, I'm putting it aside. That one came off the top. And then, yeah, that's before any of our extra pays have hit. So that would be, you know, in addition to a whole paycheck would be that 800. So that would be a fantastic start or continuation. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's look at going back for a second. So in February, so the goal was to put 800 towards the car. What did we end up putting towards it?
For a good question. We did our, so besides the normal car payment, I want to say I did 400 extra and then the car, the tires.
Right. Don't worry about that right now. Where I'm going, by the way, I'm trying to give you a little pat on the back. You put $400 extra towards your car.
Yeah.
Give yourself some credit for that. Like, you're over here beating yourself up like, oh, this happened and I didn't do this and I didn't. We just put out, I guess, in the gap and the gain. And what happens is we look at this gap that we did not make this. You're making faces at Matt. Like,
no, I almost just exited out of the meeting. I'm so
like, that's it. I've had enough of him. I'm out of here. No.
I didn't do it on purpose.
So, but we look at, we missed this. Yes. And I'm trying to say, like, don't look at the 800 that we were supposed to. We're looking at the 400 we did. It doesn't always work, but like, look at, you did make progress.
Absolutely. You know,
even with everything else.
Fair. That's a fair point.
We're trying to make incremental improvements. With budgets, it's way too easy to be like, yep, blew it, screw it, I'm done. Like, just.
So true. The temptation's there for sure.
Let's go back to the budget meeting for a second. So the best thing I found is to pick a date night to do that. What would be best for you two? Let's schedule one.
Yeah. Friday nights are typically our like at home together night that we could always bet on. You know, sometimes things take over, but normally that's a date we can bet on for a weekly touch point.
So Matt, would you lose your mind if for 30 minutes every Friday you looked at the numbers?
Oh, I don't know. I guess that'd be fine.
I think he would be okay.
Yeah.
And then what I like to do is do a backup, like Saturday morning is, you know, Friday something weird happens, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that makes
sense. I'm just trying to build a habit.
Yeah. That's the goal, right? Just to get it into the roster and then it becomes more of a, you're looking forward to it because it's a standing appointment, right?
Matt's not looking forward to it. You need Rebecca, but.
I think they're fairly amicable conversations.
They're definitely amicable. It's
the subject. Yeah, but he doesn't look forward to money like you do.
That's true.
Is that fair, Matt?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Just right, making sure, like the money person in the couple is like, I'm all excited to talk about money. And then the other spouse is like, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'll play along. Right.
I'm here for
you know, my wife brought the notebook and she's got the notebook. She's like, what should I take notes on? I'm like, you don't need to take notes. She's like, I'm here. I'm doing what I'm supposed to like.
That's awesome. Yeah. She just wants to participate. That's great.
Well, and that's what Matt wants to do too, because it's what's important. But, you know, depending on the date night, some people, you know, put the adult beverages to go with it or whatever else, you know, like make it fun.
True. Absolutely. Yeah.
See, now you're thinking.
That's good. Because honestly, like we've taken to like whereas before we might like treat ourselves with like some clothing or something like that. Now our treats are like these modest things. Like, I got you a new type of beer. Do you just try or something? Like, just, you know, things that are affordable, but still make things fun. So that would be a good routine to get into. Mm. Not always alcohol, obviously.
No, obviously.
Well, I mean, that's up to you. It depends on how much you want to, you're worried about the budget, you know, like.
Right. We'll try to keep it under a certain amount.
I have a couple of clients that always show up with a beverage or two, and it's like, all right, that's just what we're doing, you know?
That's so funny. That's hilarious. He was like, shit, can't I have a beer? And I'm like, I don't think it's a problem, but.
It's off screen. It's fine.
It's not like we're at work or something, right?
You know, it's not like sponsored by.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, people make like money out to be this like boogeyman, and I'm just trying to make it accessible. Like, you know, Friday night, you spend half an hour looking at it. Mm-hmm. If it takes a couple beers to get through it, fine. You know,
like, that's right.
Yeah.
And I did have somebody else. They were going to do on Sunday with brunch and mimosas.
Oh,
and I was like, just watch how too far you get down in that unlimited mimosa. Like, your budget might not get
have some comments, on that. But no, that makes perfect sense. And yeah, I think just like we were chatting before we hopped on, I was like, you know, the thing that I had really wanted to make a point of was to really understand, like I said before, where that money is going. We saw it in front of us on the spreadsheet that there's this much that we have to play with that we just don't know where it goes. I was like, now I think we can both recognize that, you know, some unexpected things maybe ate that up this past month, but that is still my goal, is to, when we do those touch points, is let's just figure out like, yeah, did we do something intentionally, accidentally, or not tracking a certain category accurately, whatever the case is, just knowing and having some insight into where that money's going, I think what I'm interested in, at least.
Yeah.
Give yourself credit. So you had emergencies go on and you still made progress. That tells me you did some right things.
Yeah, that's fair.
Then be like, oh, well, I didn't do it perfect. Well, no, you didn't. You won't.
Right. There's no way to bet on perfect. Right. That's fair.
And so you mentioned, okay, so we're not buying random clothing or whatever. If we don't buy random clothing, but we end up putting money towards our goals, we kind of won. It doesn't have to be a lot.
That's
it's
awesome.
The mindless spending that gets you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's Matt's $300 and he's spending his, I don't care.
Right. It's already set aside. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a mindful spending.
Sure. That's fair. That's really what we're trying to curtail, is just that mindless or unintentional spending. Yeah. Understand. Okay.
So on the clothing one, just kind of a cool one there. Adopt a one in, two out routine. So if you buy a set of piece of clothing, two has to go.
Okay.
And what ends up happening is most people, I bet you your closet's full of stuff that you may or may not wear, like, but it makes you mindful of like, okay, I say I need this shirt or whatever. I have to pick two to go away. And it just paused you just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
It actually starts some minimalist habits a little bit, but it's just a mindful step.
Yeah.
I like that very much. Yeah. That's very practical. Yeah.
And by the way, the first kind of like 20 or 30 things to get rid of are pretty easy. Then it's like.
That's true.
I've already been thinking about doing it.
We're like,
anyway.
I was already going to purge this anyway.
Yeah.
Versus no. Yeah. Now you've got to make a decision. Are you, do you really need it? Or do you just want, more variety, or.
Can I fit into this suit that I fit into 10 years ago? No. Am I going to keep it? Yes.
Well, that's it. Like, I literally this weekend took two bags to Goodwill of just like stuff. I'm like, I moved this from my last two moves last year. Why?
Yes.
I should have just donated it all then. Like, I'm just trying to be mindful. Are there other things you two are buying that might need that same one in, two out routine?
Other categories? Yeah. Oh.
You're already looking at the board games.
I'm literally, my eyes are fixed on our shelf of board games.
Overflowing with board games.
We only have a hope to play one or two, you know.
Well, if they'd stop coming out with really cool
ideas.
He
just continues to.
That might be your Kickstarter kind of control.
Yeah.
Sign up for one. And somebody around you has to have a game library where you can donate to the game library. And if needed, you can get it back.
Yeah.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Well, there's some out there that I don't want back, but never win.
Besides those, right?
But that's my whole point, is it's just making it mindful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, my wife and I Yeah, my wife and I both have problems with books. Same thing.
Okay.
One in, two out. And they're like, you know, like, all the, now if you borrow it from the library, that doesn't count as a book coming in. So you don't have there to get rid go. Of two on the way out.
Like just the loophole. Yeah.
There's a way. Yeah.
It's things like that. That it, and it sounds really like pennies, but it adds up so quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. Especially for like the big, big ones like clothes or games or whatever those things where you're like, that's the thing I'm going to, you know, impulse buy or treat myself with or whatever. It's like, yeah, we can be more intentional with that just by, yeah, pausing and really thinking like, yeah, do I have room for this in my closet? Do I have a need for it? Right. So.
Matt, is there anything you, so she just outlined your board games. Is there anything you need to outline of Rebecca's stuff that, you know, like she like sold you out. So I give you a chance.
Sure did. I know your eyes darted right to him. You're already looking.
I saw it. Like anyone, if you're not watching the video, you need to go back and look at that. Cause literally like Rebecca was like, uh-huh. I know what needs to go.
I didn't mean it like that, but yes, I can see where that looked bad.
Honestly, you don't have like,
well, don't you think my like, endeavors to like try a bunch of new recipes and like bring a bunch of desserts places. And then I go buy these fancy chocolates.
I know, but that's charming. That's nice. I like that.
But I could.
Good. Definitely. Well played, Matt. Well played. I mean, you just gained husband points on that one. Like,
yeah, I don't know if he really feels that way.
No, oh, I'm joking. Definitely. I mean, you're an amazing cook. So yeah, okay. Anytime you do cook, I just have the time of my life because I get to be a taste tester. Right.
It's getting so, a little like, deep now.
Yeah.
Well, I would suggest that, you know, if you look at like the ingredients that I get, I have little like hesitancy to just get like an expensive thing that I'm going to use once, right? Mm-hmm. Or something that's like you could easily substitute that for a more common thing. And like that's something I could apply a similar mm-hmm. logic to where I'm like, I don't have this expensive spice laying around that I used one time and then never used again. Like
that's,
I could.
That's fair. But to me, like your cooking world is like me looking at like under the hood of a car. I have no idea what anybody could tell me I need something and I'd have to just listen to them. So I think like, yeah, I need this. I'm like, yeah, you do. You definitely do. You know what you're doing.
You don't need the fanciest cinnamon and the co-op stores.
The great value.
You can get, yeah, something else.
Well, and this is where, so what I'm trying to do is build a habit. So we get all the debt paid. We get the emergency fund set up. Now, we're going to go, okay, do you want that travel, that amazing trip, the whatever, the Paris trip or whatever it is, or do you want the cinnamon? And it's like, I'll go get the good cinnamon at the place because I'm going to actually.
Yes. I love that idea. Yeah.
I'm trying to work on a mindset around it. And it's just building a habit. That's all that is. You know, a lot of people, they think I'm going to give them like the finger and the naughty list of, you know, like you shouldn't spend money on Starbucks. No, if that's what brings you joy, buy Starbucks. But you're giving up your other goals.
Yeah, it's a give and take for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, we didn't get as much raise as we wanted. We did get a raise. So, you know, it won't change your budget much. But in the future, we're going to put that raise towards your goals. Because if we can get you living on your day-to-day paycheck, every time you get a raise or bonus, you don't need the money.
Yeah, it's
towards your goals. It's a little painful now, but I promise you, when you get toward it, once it's a habit.
Yeah.
You know, so my wife and I, we have no debt. And we went through the budgeting stuff. And she's like, okay, are we going to make like a budget for groceries? I'm like, no. I'm like, really? We don't overspend there. That's not a big issue.
Yeah.
She's like, well, but on the podcast, you were talking about, you know, people's strawberry budgets and chicken nuggets. And I'm like, it's a different habit. Once you're out of debt and you have a reasonable spending, you can buy the good cinnamon and it's not going to mess things up.
It's the fair. Toast.
You got to kind of earn that privilege of you don't have to, you know, be so hyper-focused when you don't have these larger looming things that you want to solve for. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, look at it this way. You pay off the car. What's the payment per month normally?
It is $290 normally.
Right. So you're going to have $1,100 a month that you could do whatever you want with. That's a lot of spices.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all the spices you need. Yes.
But no more.
Yeah. It'll go to your emergency fund for now, independent emergency fund. We have some other goals, but like we fill those up and all of a sudden you're like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right. Fridays with the beer. We're going to do the mm-hmm. budget meetings.
Yes.
Any other major issues come up in between the last time we talked? I have what you filled out in the financial information for, but I don't want to jump to that until I make sure everything else is good with you.
I think everything else is good. I can't think of any other major shifts since the last time we spoke, besides what we've already discussed. You got a raise at your place, so that was good. And yeah, other than that, things have been pretty steady. Yeah, just I think I'm feeling like I don't know why it felt like February was just dragging us backwards. I know that's the wrong sense of things. It was, you know, a lot of unexpected things, but ultimately I'm excited to be in a new month with the knowledge that we're going to have some extra paychecks to correct what maybe didn't happen last month. And then, yeah, having those more regular checkpoints, I'm just excited to keep after it. So I'm good.
Rebecca, have you read the book, The Gap and the Gain yet?
I have not. No.
Okay. That's going to go on your homework.
That was okay. Please write that down for me. I'm going to write that down. Yeah.
Oh, no, don't worry. Remember, Rob sends you the homework. You get that.
Oh, yes. Okay, perfect.
We literally send you homework. I mean, you should like
the
homework.
Yes.
I would encourage actually both of you to read it together because, Matt, I want to kind of poke at this for a second. My guess is Rebecca often looks at not kind of like what she succeeded on, but kind of what she missed. Is that fair? Like with the budget, she's like, well, I missed this, but she didn't.
I would say that's fair, yeah. She definitely doesn't see the successes that she does all the time, and I get to see them and I get to tell her that she's doing them, but she's like, no, it's not like that. And I'm like, no, you did a good thing. Like, it was great, but you definitely don't see it that way.
Yeah. I do tend to hyperfixate on not negative things, but things that could be solved for, done better, differently, whatever.
Greater successes.
Thank you. That's nice way of putting it.
Yeah. So look at this way. All right. You gave me at least three examples I can think of. One, you said, hey, I missed the budget. And I'm like, no, you had success. You just didn't have as much as you wanted. You also said, well, we're getting half of what we expected for a raise rather than saying we're getting a raise. You're like, these are like.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's just these things of it's the way we look at the world. And unfortunately, for people that were high achievers or always wanting to get the gold star, Rebecca, it's just kind of natural. Is that fair? I don't mean to call you out, but like.
No, you're right. It's definitely, the glass remains half full, no matter. I mean, just because, you can always do more, do better, do. It's, I don't think I allow it to, make me unbearable.
Well,
that's the way my tendencies go for sure.
Yeah. And I'm not really trying to talk about it as like an optimism, pessimism thing. That's not the point. The point of the gap in the gain is we get to choose. Are we looking at what we've actually accomplished or are we looking at what we've missed? Use a weight loss example. You can look at it and say, I lost 10 pounds. Yay. Or you can look at it and go, I still got 20 pounds to go. I haven't gotten to my goal. Same with your budget. You can look at it as, well, we didn't put $800 towards the car. That's a negative framing. Or we can say we put $400 extra towards the car. Both of those are the same set of facts. True. It's just a matter of which side you're looking at. Matt, what do you think about that?
I think that's right.
Yeah. It's a good new perspective for me, for sure, to try to, think about it from a different angle, for sure.
And I freely admit this is something I'm struggling with myself. So my parents taught me, whatever you do, be the best at it. And that's messing with my head. I have to get there. I'm looking at it and saying, okay, there's about 4.4 million child-free folks that we could serve. We'll probably serve 1% of them if we do great. But I'm like, what about the other 99% we can't? And I don't look at the 1% that we could actually improve their life. But what about the rest? and the problem is that mindset ends up with you just can never be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Never be satisfied. Right.
And that's hard. I mean, Matt, how do you look at the world? I mean, did you look at the budget from last month like, I don't care, or like, hey, we missed it, or we did great? How do you look at it?
I looked at it in the sense that, we saved money on the tires. The place that we originally went to for you to like, you got an oil change, and they're like, hey, you need new tires. It's going to be, here's a little estimate, $2,500 for your
tires. You never get it at the oil change place. I'm just telling you that right now. Yeah. I knew where that story was going. The answer is like, no.
No.
Yeah. So they wanted to replace them with the same tires that came with the car, which were like very tires. Good tires. Yeah. Not that we didn't want to get good tires, but like they were tires that are I guess, above the necessary grade.
Honda got them. So
Honda, right. So you looked at that and appropriately said, I think that's too much. And then we shopped around and then we got both our cars done for like $1,200.
Yeah. So yeah, it was yours was $700, mine was $400.
Like, I was very thankful that you did that homework for me because that was, you know.
So that I looked at that and I was like, that was a pretty good thing. Like,
absolutely. You're absolutely right. Yes. That was an awesome thing.
But I mean, my mindset is I'm pretty laid back as it is. I do look at the budget and I do want to take this budget seriously because I also have probably an unhealthy idea of money. Like, I understand that we need it to survive, but also I'm not like, it's not the only thing I care about or like am looking to obtain more of. I'm not miserly with it, but at the same time, I'm very stingy with it.
Yeah. You're definitely choosy. Like, you're not a mindless spender. Like, you pick up things that you want, but you don't go and just
pick up a new hobby here.
Yeah. Just again, mindlessly, you know, go after things that you're never going to use or appreciate. So yeah. I definitely acknowledge that. I think that's why we do overall get on so well with our money matters is that, yeah, even though I think I'm just a little bit more of a forward thinker with it where I'm thinking about, okay, how do we achieve that next, you know, goal together, but you're always just on board and are like, how can I help? And we fit pretty well in that way.
And my guess is you each need to rub off a little bit on each other, but you know, let's use the tires example. Great example. Matt was like, hey, we were able to save $800 by doing some good shopping around this. And Rebecca, your answer was, well, those tires set our budget back. Like, and that's just a different perspective on the same thing.
You're right. Yeah.
Both facts, though.
Yeah.
No, the point of the gap in the game. Both exist.
We should read that book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally, Matt's looking at the gain and Rebecca's looking at the gap.
I see.
Okay. On the same exact issue. So I gave that book to Bree and her wife as part of their financial thing. And Bree hated it at first because she's like, I hate positive psychology. But by the end, she got it. And it's like, look, it's the gap in the gain. You just did the perfect example of it. And if you don't see that, what will happen is that'll actually cause some strife between the two of you. Because you're looking at the same exact issue, same exact facts from two different lenses.
Totally. Yeah. Got to share the glasses with each other. Yeah. Let each other see the mind melt a little.
Share each other's drinks.
Mm-hmm. You know, so Matt, you said, hey, well, money's not your primary goal. And that's probably a better answer. Let's just be honest with that. You know, but we need money in order to be able to do things. So that's kind of like the balancing act. And that's where you two have like a yin yang thing going on. But if we don't have the communication around it, that's where we end up with conflict.
Yeah. Sure. I could see that for sure.
You know, and Rebecca, I think your challenge is going to be over life to be a little less goal-driven and for Matt to be a little more goal-driven to find that middle ground.
I can agree with that very much.
Yeah.
Try to not have a stranglehold on the future, which cannot be controlled, and instead just let things happen while being intentional and partnering together for the same outcomes, right?
Yeah, we're actually going to build out your financial plan, and that's part of the reason why I had you get a whole lot of information. And over time, I'll actually be able to do 1,000 simulations and tell you likelihood of what's going to happen. You, Rebecca, might obsess over that and be like, what the heck? Like, this could be a small chance of like something bad happening. And that's like, most of the time it works out. Like,
it's not written in stone, right?
It's the same exact results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. That helps, actually. Yeah.
How are you feeling, Rebecca? I kind of took a couple shots at you, so I just
Good. I'm a realist. I can definitely recognize what you're saying and identify with it. Yeah. Especially in my younger years where I was just trying to get established and, you know, buy my first home and, you know, get established in my career. I just was, yeah, like, if I'm not hitting these marks, like, you know, I'm going to be set back so many years. Even just, gosh, 2-3 years ago where I recognized, wow, I haven't really been prioritizing my retirement in any meaningful way. Like I really need to, I don't even understand it. Like, I don't even understand what I'm doing here. So there's been an aspect of just, yeah, continually trying to self-correct and get on track when it's like, well, the track looks different for everyone. And I'm able to be realistic about, you know, where we are at and the positives while also, yeah, not wanting to lose sight of those things that can make a big difference down the road if we pay attention to them today. So,
by the way, you two probably have interesting dinner discussions after these meetings because it's like we're in two different worlds. Like,
you know, I know
we need like an after show or something. Like,
I mean, right? Like, we don't really acknowledge that.
Talk
on
about
the
all the issues that we just unraveled.
No. I'm going to need a counselor. No, I'm joking.
Well, no, I mean, part of what we're doing is money. I was reading a study and I was looking at women and their willingness to talk about money. And one of the things I've always believed is people would rather talk about their sex life than money. And that's kind of what they found in the study. Like, don't really want to talk about it. Like, it is a taboo topic. We don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
And we get a couple, if everything goes okay, kind of can get away with not talking about it.
Yeah.
And then something happens. And if we haven't built that skill of talking about it.
Yeah,
it
that just, trust even. Yeah. Yep, that's very true.
I was working, I do a bunch of stuff in the press, and somebody asked, how do you help the non-CFO spouse, so the person who's not doing the finances, get engaged with it? And what happens if they don't? And the worst case, and I don't think this is your case, but the worst case is like financial infidelity, where one person in the place runs all the money and can hide things and steal things and, you know, gambling or, you know, whatever, and money disappears. That's the worst. You two have a good framework to start with. You're doing okay. It's just going to get you that much closer if you start having those tougher discussions.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I could.
If we have them now while we're fighting about tires, well, then when something big happens, we're okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got the muscle memory to understand how to communicate and to be thoughtful for each other's points of view, because we actually can understand where they're coming from instead of talking past each other all the time. I think that that's a huge help. That's a good advice.
And what we'll do is for your Friday budget meeting, I'm also going to include in the homework, Bree made something that she uses with her wife. She calls it Wednesdays with the Wives. And it has kind of like a framework of, well, this worked. And these are kind of roses and thorns. What I liked for the week, what I didn't. This is what you've done for me. Like, it's a good framework to just have some of those discussions.
Okay.
It might feel a little hokey to you the first time or two to do it, but like,
sure.
Just saying, might help you, because it looks at both sides. You know, where you might naturally look at kind of like, well, we missed this. Then you have to go into the form and go, but this was what we did right. Like,
acknowledge the good things as well, for sure. I love that idea.
So we'll come back to it. That's kind of the big picture we'll come back to. But a couple things on the homework for the financial information form. I got the what you pay for your homeowners and auto, but I need a copy of what the coverages are.
Oh.
So I'm going to look at those to see, like, do we have enough car coverage? Do we have enough auto coverage? Do we need an umbrella? Like,
okay. I probably only sent you the bill. Okay. Okay. I'll fix that.
And then you finished your taxes. Did you end up with a big refund or?
A pretty normal one for us, which was, about $2,500 for federal and a couple hundred for state. So that was pretty standard for us.
We're going to send you access to our Right Capital, which is our financial planning software. And I'll show you in a minute. And there's a vault to upload it. I want you to upload a copy of the auto and also your last year's taxes. I'll take a look at it. We do not want to be giving the government $2,500 loans.
I understand. Yeah.
We're going to make some adjustments, so we're not giving them a $2,500 loan. Because
that sounds good.
You could have made 5% interest on that, or you could have used that to pay off half the car across the year.
Wow. Right. You're right.
And you would have saved 8%+ on that. Do you just love the government that much you want to give a loan?
No. This is a habit that's gone back to ever since I started working, which is just the lack of understanding of the tax structure and the withholding stuff. And I understand it better now, but the most recent change, which now is not at all recent, was when we got married. I wasn't sure how it would change what was owed and what I would, I didn't want to owe. So I just, I knowingly overdid it with the perspective of at least I won't owe and I'll get a little bit of, you know, extra. And that's great. That was just my,
if you're within like $500, I don't care. Mm-hmm. 1,000, we got to make an adjustment. $2,000. Okay. Well,
for sure.
And the other thing is, we're going to do some tax planning on, like, well, how should you put money into your retirement? Should it be Roth? Should it be traditional? We'll do all that.
Okay.
But the other thing is, I will make a note to make sure when we're doing the taxes that you understand and get it to the point where, hey, now I'm comfortable with it.
Thank you.
The U.S. tax system is screwy. It just is. I filed my own taxes this year, and I actually had to reach out to two of my colleagues, like, so double check this for me. Like, and like, right. I do this for a living, and it's like, what about this? And like,
there's a lot of moving parts, I'm sure. Yeah.
It's bad when professionals have to go, well, where does the IRS, you know, I was trying to figure out where they fill out one form. They're like, where's this? And like, my colleague was like, let me look that up. They had to talk, like, it shouldn't be that hard, but it's just.
That's interesting. You know. Yeah.
And we trust normal people to do all that.
Normal people.
Then if they do it wrong.
Oh, you choose us being the normal people. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, our situation has always been fairly straightforward, and you know, we don't have kids, like just, you know, filing jointly married. And so I've gotten away with doing it myself with, you know, a little bit of guidance from like Credit Karma and things like that. But like, I've ultimately, again, just made choices that have been out of ignorance and almost intentional ignorance, where I go, I know that, I mean, I've heard exactly what you said, which is, why are you giving money to the government to hold on to when that could be in your paycheck? And it's like, yes, but at least I won't owe, and I don't want that. So
I'm still going to get it so you don't owe. I'm just going to get it closer.
I appreciate it. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
We can get close without giving them extra.
Perfect.
You know, the way I look at it is, we follow the IRS rules exactly. We just don't give them a tip. You know, like,
I like that. Yes.
You know, you gave a $2,500 tip. Luckily, they gave it back to you. Like,
sure, that's true.
We won't get into IRS. If you underpay, they charge you interest. But if you overpay, they don't give you interest. Like, you know, like,
isn't that the way it is? Yeah. Huh.
Kind of funny how that happens.
But. Yeah.
All right. Couple things from your financial information form I want to go over. I'm going to share my screen. Your net worth works out to about $325,000. How's that feel to you?
It's mostly the house, I'm guessing. Yeah.
Well, you've got in your retirement accounts $240,000. You say it's mostly the house, but like...
Actually, yeah. Okay, I see now. Wow, yeah. That adds up.
Well, you say like, we're not putting away for retirement. So we took everything you owe, including the car, the house, mortgage, all that. You are positive by $325,000.
Okay. Okay. Oh, wow. That's... Okay, so that's without the mortgage.
Yep.
The remainder. Yeah.
Okay. Going back to the gap of the gain here, Rebecca. Mm-hmm. You're essentially like, yeah, well, you're doing better than probably 2/3 plus of the U.S. Now, mind you, 2/3 of the U.S. cannot afford a $1,000 emergency, so it's not a high bar to get past.
That's fair.
But the way we look at net worth is, the hardest is getting to zero. So you've paid off enough debt, so you get to zero. Getting to 100,000 is hard. Getting from 300,000 to a million is just a matter of time. You two will, if you add no more money to this, you'll be millionaires in about 15 to 20 years.
Okay. It's wild. Yeah. If from an investment standpoint, yeah, that makes sense. And I did reprioritize, and I don't know if this was the right or wrong thing to do, while still having car payments, while still having a mortgage, to put more into retirement, and to really just, every time I got a raise, that went up another percent or two, you know, every time, you know, I could, I just kind of raised that to almost the limit. I'm not quite sure if I'm at the limit of contributions, but nearly there, just from the perspective of like making up for lost time. And then.
Hold on. What race are you running here? What time are you making up for?
Yeah, I guess the years of not thinking about it, because I really didn't think about it. I just did whatever, you know, obviously company match, go up to that amount, maybe a little more. And then it was like, I just didn't even think about it. And then I realized like, well, if you don't make some intentional moves, and those retirement calculators kind of get you too, where you're like, you'll never have enough according to those.
Hold on. So let me show you kind of where we're going. So we set up goals and we set up retirement. What's your monthly expenses now are, hold on. We'll build your whole system. So $4,800 a month. And what we'll end up doing, this is like the high end calculator, but the data in here is not great yet, but just go with me for a second. I just want to show you where we're going. I'll be able to show you how your net worth grows. This system, by the way, right now is saying you'll be millionaires at about 41 and 44. And this actually will end up running 1,000 simulations of where your money ends up. And right now, these numbers are not real, but it's saying you're going to die with $80 million. Now, my point is, and that's where the numbers get fake.
Understood.
But what happens is, we actually can track this, and this is what we're building. You bring in about $147,000. Your expenses are about $74,000, taxes, and then we're saving to 401k. The mindless spending, we went over this is about $25,000. If instead we're taking that $25,000 and putting towards your goals, you end up with more money than you know what to do with. If that goes towards travel and makes you happy, that's fine too. So when you say like, I'm behind, I'm like, behind who? Why?
Right.
You know, if you're in your mid-40s, you've got, you're millionaires and you have no debt whatsoever.
Mm. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I hear you. I do. I think not really having.
You hear me logically, but you're.
I do. No, I'm not. I'm not gonna refute anything that was just said. I think I'm just trying to represent where I have been with this. Is just not really knowing what the outcomes are meant, what we're really heading for when it comes to like our 40s. Like it still seems like a long way off for me.
Not for me.
Well, not as long for you, but it's still like, you know, I want to understand better how we are going to, I don't know, like manage our property and our wealth. I just have no basis or I guess example of what to do at the different phases of life. So I had a little bit of panic from like 30 to 34. So for like from 2020 to present of I haven't saved for retirement enough and went to correct that. And we got, you know, the progress made here is I think the result, largely the result of that, maybe not as much as I'm saying, but.
So here's the thing I want to remind you. Mm-hmm. Paying off the car will lower how much is owed. Mm-hmm. It raises your net worth too. Mm. People see like, well, am I saving for retirement? Well, here's the thing. Net worth is everything you own minus everything you owe. So if I decrease what I owe, my net worth goes up. And people are like, well, but I didn't put it in retirement. Well, no, you paid off debt and you got tax-free essentially savings of the interest. You actually do better than retirement. And we haven't even gotten to your goals yet, because if you two decide, well, you know, we don't really want to retire. We want to cut back on work. We want to shift, whatever we end up with. Retirement account might not be the right place to put the money. We'll have a separate conversation about that. But what's happening is all of it's going in the right direction. I just have to get you there. Because what happens is if I don't shift your mindset around this, your number will go from 300,000 to 1 million to 2 million to 3 million, whatever it is. And you'll still be like, I'm behind. And I'm like, mm-hmm. You keep moving the goalpost.
Yeah.
Matt, you just sold her out with that one. You're like, gave her that look like, uh-huh. That was payback for the board games.
That's fair. No, you're right. You're right. I think that's absolutely true. And I need to be more willing to like solidify, like this is a journey. We're not trying to achieve any, like there is no final outcome that is the right outcome. It's just, yeah, I think being more educated in our choices and like you mentioned briefly, which I know we'll get into, like, I think a lot of the content that you've put out already that I've consumed on your website or on the Child Free Facebook page has kind of opened my mind up to the fact that like, yeah, it's not a retirement. Isn't just a, you know, an age around 60, 62. It's, you know, you can achieve it in different ways. And I think that's something we really want to familiarize ourselves with a little more, because I think if we play our cards right, we could be in a good place to do something like that. You know,
you are already in a good place.
Yeah. Okay.
Pay off the car. I'm not worried about the house because we can pay that off over time. And you got $300,000 plus in net positive net worth in your 30s. Mm-hmm. Take a victory lap. Like, you know, like
I do.
What happens is all of those stupid calculators online are based around people with a standard life script, which you're not following.
Okay.
It is for somebody in their 30s with 2.5 kids and is trying to go. That's not your life.
Yeah.
True.
You need to stop measuring yourself against everybody else. We need to come up with a measure for you.
Okay. I agree.
You okay with me, Rebecca?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Checking because you know. All right. No, so a couple other things in here. We're going to set you up. We're going to give you access to this. You can go in here and link accounts and you'll actually be able to connect your bank accounts. It'll pull the information live. Like for example, right now I have the car at 8,200 and you said, hey, it's already lower. So you'll be able to do that. And what that'll allow us to do is we'll actually be able to project out. Now, keep in mind, I don't get to do anything with your accounts. We don't even see the account numbers. We just see the names. But we'll be able to look at that. We'll also look at what you're invested in and all that. One question I have on that, your stock ownership plan, what is that in?
So you're asking like so stock ownership is in the company I work for?
Right. But my question, so I've got your 401k and it says it's in another account, but we don't have the statement. Like, I'm like,
oh,
is that in a retirement account? Is that in a brokerage account?
In a separate account. What type of account? I don't know. It's just, so our company is publicly traded. It has stock. They give us some every year. It goes into that account. I don't know what, it's just sitting there. I don't know what it does. And they add it to my,
yeah. So what I want you to do is in Right Capital in the top right here, there's a vault. Mm-hmm. You can come in here and upload a copy of the statement of that.
Okay.
The auto plans, the taxes. I'll take a look at those.
Perfect.
And what'll end up happening is we'll be able to kind of like figure that out. Like, for example, I have mm-hmm. no clue what tax implications there are for that. Depending on what type of account it is, that's going to make a difference.
Sure.
Also, you might be able to use that money to pay off the car tomorrow. I don't know. Like, is it a retirement account? Is it?
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I actually don't know, and I've questioned myself what you do with that.
and that's why either A, I'm going to have you link the account, and okay. B, you put up the statements. We'll figure out both, and we'll go, what is this? You know, so. Let's be real. You've got $60,000. We have no clue what it is or what account it is or what the tax, like.
What's the situation? Right. No, you're right.
And we may get to a point if the paperwork's, you know, if I can't figure out paperwork, what I'll do is I'll have you log into the account, share screens. I'll take a look and I'll say, oh, this is what that is. This is what that. And it's very common, especially with publicly traded companies. There's options like, oh, this is an RSU, this is an ISO. These are, and I'm like, a stock option could be a lot of things. I have no clue what it is. Okay. And you're like, and you have no clue. I'm like, cool. So none of us know. So let's figure out what the 60. It actually sounds ridiculous that like we have $60,000. We have no clue about it. Like when you think about it in that lens, you're like.
When you're talking about an employee stock ownership plan, I always thought it just was a special plan that, and I didn't really read about it or know anything, but I understand that that doesn't really, it's not a descriptor. It's just.
Yeah. You could have bought it. They could have gave it to you. They could, okay. It could have been a part of a bonus, which all changes the tax and structure. Also changes your cost basis, things like that. Whether okay. or not you get axed to it, is it part of your retirement plan? Is it? So what happens is people think about investing. I put money in the stock market. Cool. Well, to understand investing, you have to understand what you're investing, how it impacts your financial plan, and where to hold it. We know we're invested in some company stock. Cool. One of the downsides of that is I try not to have people have a lot of concentrated stock in their employer because your salary and your stock now are in the same bucket.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm not saying it's going to happen to your company, but company goes up in flames for whatever reason. You lost $60,000 and your job. Well, no, I've had people that like, you know, whatever. They worked at Amazon. They have a whole bunch of stock there and they work. Now your salary and your stock are in the same place. If it all goes well, you're do great. If you had stock in some of these companies that went up belly up, like I got laid off and I lost a lot of money.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
it
where
would
we're
behoove
build.
Us to understand for sure.
We might not be able to do anything with it. Like it might just be like some of those plans were like, cool, it is and it is. That's all we do.
That's
but we just need to be aware
fine.
Of it.
Yeah, we'll definitely endeavor to do that.
Yeah. What I'm doing is we're the budgeting, the cash flow, the mental models around money is the foundational stuff. Then we're going to start building these pieces on top of it. We're going to lose your taxes, your investing, your insurance, all of that. It'll make more sense as we're going along. When you're like, why are you asking me for 100 pieces of paper? This is why. Like, it's like, you know, I'll look at people's tax returns and I don't do tax filing, but I just do tax planning. And I'll look at it. I'm like, what's this account over here that this is talking about? Like, oh, I don't know. My dad had me hooked up with something. And it's like, let's figure this out. Like,
let's investigate. Okay.
That's what we're doing with the options. So what we're going to do is we're going to send you an email and have access to the Right Capital. You'll be able to link your accounts. I'm also going to put a link. If you have any trouble with that, Rob can like look over your shoulder and actually help you link the accounts. Like literally you can just schedule that and he can do that. Best bet is to link them after business hours because a lot of like, banks and things like they don't want to connect during 9 to 5 because of the market. So connect those. We'll get your tax return, your options, your insurance. We'll go over those. Matt, on your pay stubs, I found you do not currently have long-term disability. So we got to keep that in mind. Rebecca has extra, so we'll have to figure that out. You know, so that's, you've got more, but that doesn't cover Matt, so that covers you. So we'll have to figure that out. If the company, usually they have open enrollment in October or fall or something like that. Do you know when yours is, Matt?
So my company doesn't really offer any of that, right?
Well, no, he's not talking about open enrollment, which is when you can make changes to your plans. I think it's November. I'm fairly sure. So I'm trying to think, did they ever come to you and ask you if you want to like change your insurance or anything?
Not really.
He works for a very small company, a little.
They're supposed to once a year.
Once a year.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
For that,
I'm not sure.
Look for that email. And what we'll do is we'll double check your benefits at that point. But I build a list of like, we need to look at these things. And people are like, why do you worry about that? Well, if you ever get disabled, you'll thank me for worrying about it. But like, you know.
Absolutely.
It's things like that. So we will pull this apart. Next time we get together, we're going to like pull more of these pieces together. And Rebecca, I promise we will get to the big picture. We'll look at like, well, what happens if we retire at this age or that age? Mm-hmm. Matt's going to be like, yeah, that bores me. No, but we're going to go, all right, what goals do we want to get to? Like,
for sure.
You know, we'll find the balance between them. But
awesome.
I will check back and ask, A, did we have our budget meetings? And B, which beer worked out best? Because just saying, you know, like.
Absolutely. We'll report back.
Whatever that is. Awesome. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does. Yep.
Other questions, thoughts? Because we're getting to the end of our time.
I think a big part of what I'm hoping to learn, and you've already outlined it, is the second category of things I've not endeavored to understand are the disability and life insurance things. So looking forward to that. And if that's next time we talk, great. If not, yeah, those are just things I have some through work, but I don't know if it's sufficient, what it really is, how you use it, any of that. So those are things that, you know, you can never bet on tomorrow. So just wanting to know how to, apart from, I do know how to set a beneficiary, that part has been done. So you don't have to worry about that. But apart from that, don't have a very clear understanding of that aspect of finances. So
what I can tell you from your paychecks is you do have long-term disability and you bought extra. What the exact coverage is, don't worry about that right this second. Matt has none. You have some. So we at least know that. Like, and that's what I'm just trying to do. With this finance stuff, if I put too much at once, your brain explodes.
That's fair. 100%.
So yeah. I'm like, start with a foundation, add another piece. Although, Rebecca, I got to watch out for you, like wanting to get it all done immediately. Like,
I know.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Just rain
and
me
what
in.
I'm also yes. What I'm also doing is I'm reviewing all your stuff, you know, for what we call the flashing red lights. You know, hey, is there mm-hmm. something like freaking mm-hmm. me out? The fact that Matt doesn't have it is an issue. We can't fix it till the fall, so
yeah,
it is. It just
it is what it is, right?
We know what you have, you know, like, and that's what we do is we prioritize it, because if you really start looking at all your finances and the world and politics and all that, like, you just lose your mind. Like, everything's coming to an end. The whole world's going to come to an end, and like, we all going to be living in a bunker. Like, you know, that's like right. The end result. You know, it's kind of like if you Google your medical issues, you end up with cancer no matter what.
Yes.
You know, if you Google your financial issues, you eventually like, oh no, uh-huh. I suck. I'm not doing it. I'm way behind. Like, the whole world's doing better than me. And I'm like, no, I'm here yeah. looking at it going, you're good. Breathe. And we'll get better.
Awesome. That's perfect.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does make sense.
Rebecca, how are you feeling? I poked at you a little bit too much today.
No,
so
good. No, you didn't. I've got thick skin. I can. No, you've been very kind. I am just. Yeah, I think I do tend to. And I think you just nailed it. What I do is I Google things and I go, whoop, you never did that. You never thought about that. And so you figure any point of ignorance is a gap in what you're going to end up, you know, doing correctly, not correctly, you know, having seen maybe some other family members with. Who made choices that were, you know, it's like they maybe struggle in their older years having not made different choices. It's like, how do you avoid that? And I've definitely, I'm sure, overcorrected in some areas and just need to chill out. So all of your comments are well taken. No worries.
So here's your new answer. Your new answer is, remember, part of what you get with me is you can email me throughout the month.
Yeah.
So next time you go to Google something, If you have a question, just email me. And okay. What I'll do is I'll either give you a quick answer or I'll say we'll talk about it in the next meeting.
Okay.
Both will get you a better answer than Googling it.
That's fair. Awesome.
You know, there are times where I'm like, here's a resource. Read this one. Because mm-hmm. now I've diagnosed you and said, okay, this is what you mm-hmm. need. With Google, that you're diagnosing yourself, which, of course, the answer is we all suck. Like, I'm just like,
sure, sure.
That's the problem with, and I'm not sure AI is going to catch this one for quite a while, is it's like, mm-hmm. what questions you ask matters.
Yeah.
So if you're like, am I behind financially? The answer is going to be yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And for our child-free folks, all of the answers you're getting, unless you get it from us, assume you have kids. So every single one of them is not going to pick. So they ask, do I need life insurance? They're going to say yes, because you, of course, have kids. Well, when you don't, I'm going to be asked for the two of you. I really have no interest in life insurance for either of you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
You got $300,000 positive net worth. You mm-hmm. each of you can live without the other person.
Right. You're bury, right, actually. I have
with
thought
my money.
What?
Bury me with my money.
No.
With your $300 and your board games.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. No. I have thought of the fact that, yeah, if either of us were gone, our lifestyle is a good fit for either of us. And that you're right. There probably isn't a whole lot of room for life insurance, not having children or anyone to take care of. So, yeah.
But if you Google fair. It, it says you need mm-hmm. 10 to 12 times your income.
Exactly. Yep. Hmm. Wow.
That's a generic for everybody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why, so Matt, your new homework is, anytime you see Rebecca Googling something with money, you just say, just email Dr. J, ask him. Seriously.
That's good. Okay.
Like, that's part of what you get out of this. Like,
I appreciate that very much, actually. Thank you.
I swear half my time is like phone a friend, you know, like, I have this question. And usually I can look at it and go, I either know who you're following on social media or what you're watching for news, or like, I can usually get like, where did that question come from? Like,
yeah, you can trace it, I'm sure. Wow.
Yeah, or people like, I was talking to one of my friends and I'm like, oh boy.
Here we go.
My friend says I need to buy X. And I'm like, okay, so what are they getting paid to sell you that? Like,
yeah. Totally.
Sponsored by.
My uncle says I need an IUL life insurance. I'm like, well, your uncle is making money off that and you need that like a hole in the head. But how do I say ignore your uncle? Like, and Matt, I just want to check in with you. How are you doing? Like, I talked to Rebecca most today, but just want to check in. We good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're good.
You going to be good with the Friday night budget date?
Definitely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to them.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I'm looking forward to.
Well, thank you very much. We'll pick up in a month. If we can, let's try to get it about a month rather than 45. Life happens. You can schedule out actually in advance. You can actually schedule out months in advance if that works for your schedule.
Let's do that. Yeah.
My schedule, unfortunately, is a little challenging at times, but schedule that because then that holds you to it. Because then I'm like, oh, so tires this month? And you're like, well, no, I just replaced tires. Yeah, like,
sure, sure. Continuity.
But the other part of it is it helps you from freaking out about something because then you can come to me like, hey, I was thinking about this. You know, so we do the month intentionally because that's about how long it takes you to work through what we gave you. And then build up stuff for the next one, essentially.
That makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll definitely get it about a month out. And yeah, I'll attempt to get them all put out there so that we're on a schedule. I like that.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a rating or review. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Follow Child Free Wealth on social media or email us at podcast@childfreewealth.com. If you're interested in working together, learn more by visiting our website, www.childfreewealth.com. We'll see you next time.